Here to wrap up KER Politics, we're going back to basics again, and we're going to talk about a subject that we have really talked into the ground. But here is a new twist on the COVID question. Do the Chinese know something about COVID that we don't? And is that why they are using these draconian measures in mainland China to actually prevent people from getting the disease? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, my position is they're using it for control regardless.
Okay.
There may be something in their research or, you know, from where this began, that there may be something that we don't know what the potential impact is. But here's some of the facts. They've developed their own vaccine. I think it was Sinovac is the company that did it. Chinese are not nearly as vaccinated as actually Westerners as the United States, according to their data. And it's hard to judge their data, right? Hard to judge it. But we know that vaccinations in the United States, as of August, the CDC data showed a 59% of people that had died with COVID had been vaccinated or boosted. 59%. So that's more.
That's more than half.
That's yes. That the opposite is 41% had not. So when you're starting to look at the waning capability of our own vaccines, the Pfizer, the Moderna, and most studies are showing that after a few months, they've faded, which is why they're forcing the boosters upon people, or at least trying to completely do it, trying to continue the process of boosting people potentially indefinitely, I guess, which unfortunately has to be questioned because of the financial interests of these companies.
Of course,
you just really have to wonder what's going on in the background. Right. So the Chinese are facing a very big challenge with trying to manage this pandemic, but the pandemic basically has resolved itself to where it's pretty much like a flu.
Mm-hmm.
So why the heck do you have a zero COVID policy for lockdowns in these major cities, absolutely hurting your economy? There has to be other reasons for it. We don't know, but we don't know exactly why, because we don't have insight into the decision making of the Chinese Communist Party and the very senior and small number of people that make those decisions there. So, and oh, by the way, there is zero transparency in China, and you can't trust any of the data and any of the numbers that are coming out of China. So the problem becomes, why do Western epidemiologists, Western health officials look to China for some sort of solution? And what we saw recently in testimony under oath by Anthony Fauci in this lawsuit by the Missouri Attorney General is basically his staff. He sent people to China to take a look at how they responded. And then the draconian measures they were using is what they attempted to push on Americans.
Yeah.
But the threat may have never been what they anticipated it to be. And it looks like that's the fact, that it was never.
Yeah, as I understand it, because we talked about the what Missouri, had done in terms of taking legal action, Missouri came out on top of that. The attorney general is, kind of won.
Well, the case is still going, but what he did is he forced these government officials to testify, which is, I think, very, very important, because what it's showing is how much involvement they were to censor other views and opinions. And as we get more information on that, we're finding out the government was very, very successful in censoring and intimidating tech companies and media companies, social media companies, and major corporations, corporate media, to silence like possible treatments like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, when in fact there was some good news with some of that. They censored quite a bit of information on the damages, potential risks with vaccinations, and now we're seeing the results of that.
Yeah.
So, and then you're finding this problem where, and this is part of the problem with the U.S. government not being able to say much about China and this continued lockdown, they actually support it. The U.S. government, under the Biden administration, actually supported a lot of these policies and came up with them. And you have people like Justin Trudeau in Canada who was very draconian in his lockdown efforts and then pushed back strongly against protesters that were tired of it through the horn honking campaign in Ottawa. And now he's attacking China. He's getting hammered for that inconsistency by very astute and professional, even Democrats are coming out. Jonathan Turley just put a big piece out on that, on Justin Trudeau's inconsistency here. You know, you can't say you're out for individual rights at the same time you're using the exact same methods to lock down your own people. And that's what's happened in Canada. And I think, in fact, the Biden administration is very leery about making any comments because they've done the same thing as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to repeat something that a psychiatrist who I know told me. Dr. Samangan and I were talking about how many patients he's seeing now, which is an inordinately high number of people. And I asked her, a while ago when we were just chatting, I said, just out of curiosity, why are so many people in need of your services right now? And she said, purely and simply because of the lockdowns. She said, human beings are not meant to be that way. And the negative aspects of that is proven right now with the mental illness that's going on in the country. It's on a huge rise.
The suicides have really increased. Fentanyl overdoses have significant, drug overdoses have significantly increased. We're seeing ramifications well beyond the impact of COVID itself, well beyond it. We've got this excess mortality numbers, which people are trying to understand, with insurance companies paying out, some people are estimating 40% increase in younger people dying over pre-pandemic, pre-2020 levels. This is all very very disconcerting, but also has to be publicly analyzed and looked at. And that's the biggest problem when the government is involved in censoring and silencing people's ability to actually look and, to look at these and answer these questions. It's very problematic. But more importantly, even professional scientists were silenced and attacked by people like Anthony Fauci. Rand Paul has come out, and I think it was in an interview yesterday, probably on Jesse Waters, I believe, on Fox News, and he said basically Fauci and his gain-of-function research that he funded may have contributed to 7 million deaths around the globe. He says he thinks, Rand Paul says, we're going to go ahead and we're going to, run this to ground, and he's going to be held responsible for it. That's a pretty stark number.
Yeah.
But when you actually have done this, kind of circumvented our own law to continue funding through third parties into this type of research, it's a very, very nefarious. I mean, I get the idea of what they thought they were doing, but then I think what they've been trying to do since this escaped or whatever happened was released, they've been trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that they're going to face.
Well, the thing that I wonder about, and some of you people may laugh at me for saying something like this, but I really wonder, COVID is a very unpleasant disease to have. I had it once, and it's very uncomfortable. But I have to say that by the same token, a good case of the flu is also very uncomfortable. I really wonder what the significance of placing so much importance on this particular disease is. That's something to think about. I don't know if you can give a quick opinion, Jimmy. We got less than 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I just think that there was more involved here. This is a global experiment that the NIH and Health and Human Services were playing on America, on the world.
Yeah, and I think I have to say, but I think the National Institute of Health and other organizations of a similar ilk, I have to say, I really think they might have been wrong in these cases. Love to get some comments on this, you guys. Hey, it's been fun putting the show together. Be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.